thank God for everybody being out on this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Jeremiah. Chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Glory to God. And we're going to continue to follow our path of study. I think the last time I was here, it seemed like it's been forever. We were talking about learning how to flow with and in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at today one of the responsibilities that the Holy Spirit has unto us. Part of his responsibility is to help us get to where God has assigned for us to be. So in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, and let's read that. Verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The Amplified Bible says, "For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for your welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you hope in your final expectation or outcome." So what I want to talk to you about today is the plan. There is a plan for your life. There's a plan for us collectively as the body of Christ, and then there's a plan for you individually. And what I find, and you know this to be true just as well as I do, people in general are unhappy with life simply because they don't know where they fit in. They have no idea about who they are, where they're going. And so they just wandered through life aimlessly, and they're miserable. They usually end up in places they don't want to end up, on jobs that they hate and don't want to work, doing things in life that they don't want to do. But that is not what God intends for you and I as his children. For this scripture just says here that God says, "I know the thoughts and the plans that I have thought about you." So God has a plan for your life. Everybody sitting in this room, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, there is a plan for your life. You are not just here to wander around and then leave and die and go on. There's purpose. God is a God of purpose. So he says that he knows the thoughts and he knows the plan. Verse 12 says, "Then you will call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." In other words, you will come and inquire about the plan unto me, and I will hear and answer you. So you're going to have to go to God to get the plan. You know, you don't take surveys to find out your plan. You don't ask mom and dad to find out the plan. You don't ask society and your friends to find out the plan. They don't know. God is your creator, and God knows the plan. Amen. Now, let's look at Psalms 139. I want to just kind of give you some foundational scriptures for this, and then we're going to launch off into where we're going. So there's a plan. Everybody has one. And I don't know about you, but I want that plan. Psalms 139, let's look at verse 16. It says, "Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfected, and in thy books are all my members were written, which is continued or fashioned when as yet there were none of them." Now, the Amplified Bible for that says this, and I want you to see this. It says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book, all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there was none of them. So God says, I know the thoughts and I know the plans. And before any of your days ever began, he had already mapped it out. He says, in his book are all the days of your life. They're written. And it's a good plan. So if you want to know the plan, I want to know the plan that's written in that book. I want to know what's in that book. You want to know what's in that book, because whatever's in that book is a great plan. All right. So God says, I know the thoughts. I know the plans that I have for you. And I wrote the plans down. I wrote down each day of your life in my book before you ever were born. So God didn't wait for you to be born, then figure out the plan for you. No, he released you into this earth at the exact moment you were supposed to be here, because you were ready for the plan that he planned out for you. You know, that's why you're alive in this generation. You fit this time. You weren't born in the 1800s because you wasn't designed to fit the 1800s. You were born for here and now. And whatever God has designed for you to do fits this time. It fits this time. Now, so let's just keep chugging along here. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. So there's a plan. God says, I know the thoughts, I know the plans. It's a good plan because it's for your welfare, it's for your benefit, it's for your peace, it's not for any evil. He also says that I wrote them down in my book before you were ever born. And then the scripture says how wonderful and awesome is that plan. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. So now the plan has been designed. You need to know it. Verse 8 says this, which he, talking about Christ, which he lavished upon us. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, too, so just to save some time, which he lavished upon us in every kind of wisdom and understanding, practical insight and prudence, making known unto us the mystery, the secrets of his will, his purpose, and his plans. So God wants us to know. He has given us wisdom. He has given us access to his purpose and his plans. And obviously he wants us to know him. Making known to us the mystery, the secrets of his will, of his plans, and of his purpose. And it is this: in accordance with the good pleasure, his merciful intent, which he has previously purposed and set forth in him. So now here's the plan. And the plan, he says that he has set this plan up, and this plan is in place. It's for your benefit. He knows the plan. He knows the thoughts. He has written them down. He knows exactly what's supposed to happen, when it's supposed to happen, how it's supposed to happen. You just need to know. You and I, we need to know. God is not in the dark about what's going on with us. We are. But we're not supposed to stay there. Now look at verse 11. In him, we also were made God's heritage. In Christ, we were made God's heritage, his portion. We have obtained an inheritance, for we have been foreordained, chosen and appointed beforehand in accordance with his purpose, or in accordance with his purpose and plans, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will or of his own plan. Notice it says God works out everything in agreement with that plan. Now, I'm going to say this. Just because there's a plan laid out for your life doesn't automatically mean you get it. And everybody in this room knows that's true. There is a plan. But unless you do what Jeremiah says, then you will come to me and inquire about the plan. I will hear and answer. If you don't go to God and inquire about the plan, you never find out because you didn't ask. It's not automatic. You have to seek out the plan that God has for you. And he's made it very easy. So there's a plan for us. It's a great plan. Everything you need is attached to this plan. In the plan that God has made for you, there is nothing missing. There is nothing broken. It is perfect. It is a plan designed for you, and it comes with purpose. And whatever that plan is, whatever that purpose is, it comes with its necessary supply to fulfill it. Prove it to you. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. From the Amplified Bible, it says here once again, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew." Why? "That we may do the good works which he predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths that he prearranged ahead of time, that we should walk in them." So there is a prearranged path with the plan, and he expects for you to walk in it. And when you walk in the path, on the path that goes with the plan, notice what it says: "Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for you to live." So it's a great plan, and everything you need is attached to it. Everything. So I wanted to lay that out because of where we're going here this morning. How do you tap into God's plan for your life? Because I'm telling you, you want this plan. You want this plan. You don't want the plan that mama has for you. You don't want the plan that daddy has for you. You want the plan that God has for you because you're designed to fit that plan. You know, the last week I got a chance to talk to the teens, and I gave them the example of your parent may say to you, "We want you to be a doctor." Because they want you to have a good life, a good future. They want you to make good money. But you want, in you, you want to be a school teacher. "Mom, I want to be a school teacher." "Well, nah, you don't want to be a school teacher, son, because they don't make any money. You can't make any money being a school teacher. You want to be a doctor because you can make good money." But God's plan was school teacher. That's why it's in them. That's why they want to be a school teacher. They're equipped to be a school teacher. They're anointed to be a school teacher. They're designed to fit teaching. But mom and dad says you can't make any money being a teacher. So they pushed him in the direction of doctor. So they went to school. Hated every minute of it. Became a doctor. In the medical profession, going to work every single day, hating the life they're living. No enjoyment, no fulfillment. They're making a lot of money, but they're unhappy. Why? Because they're not designed to fit doctor. They're designed to fit teacher. So what if that parent had to took that same kid and says, "Okay, I believe that's the direction the Lord is leading you to be a teacher," and started helping them and praying for them about being the school teacher. Now they're on God's plan for their life. They're in God's path for their life. They go to school, enjoy every moment of it, become that school teacher, love what they do, love how they're doing it. And see, where you thought they couldn't make any money, but what you don't understand is the plan comes with its own resource. It's not based on what you can make. It's based on what God has laid up for the plan. See, God has laid up the resource for the plan. If it takes you $10 billion to get it done, you can go be a school teacher. The $10 billion is laid up for the plan. God ain't never asked you to make $10 billion. He just says, "Would you believe me and get on the plan?" So that kid got on the plan of being a school teacher, enjoying their life walking with God. And at every facet of their life, the anointing is working. And that individual kid grew up, became that school teacher, was the best teacher in the state, became the best in the city, became the best teacher in the state. And before you know it, now they're working in Washington. They're running the educational department. And I mean, all kind of things are going on. Why? Because they're in the plan. Because that's where God needed them to be. You thought they needed to be somewhere they could make a lot of money, but God needed them at the top of the education department. Why? For some things he needed to have done for that generation. See, we have to attach our lives to God's plan and not attach our lives into what we think is going to be lucrative for us. It says living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for you to live. So you and I, what we need to find out is the plan that God has for you. All right. Now, let's look at our perfect example. So for the rest of the time, I'm going to read this in Luke, and then we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of St. John today. But let's look at Jesus, because if we're going to follow any example in the Bible of an individual who walked the plan of God for their life to perfection, it would be him. From start to finish. And the exact same way he did it is how we're supposed to do it. The exact same way. Jesus was the pattern that each and every one of us in this room was to follow. Now, look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus has come up to the place now. It's time for God's plan to be manifested in the earth. Now, notice what Jesus did. It's going to identify to you how he figured out his plan. Luke chapter 4, let's start reading here at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, or like he was used to doing, he went into the church, the synagogue, on the Sabbath day. So his habit was seeking God. So that's key. You're not going to find out this plan doing your thing. You got to get with God. It's in his book. So it says he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, why did they deliver this book to him? Because this is the one he asked for. He asked for this book. There was a purpose that he asked for this book. He knew exactly what he was doing. God was launching his ministry in this earth. God was establishing his plan in this man's life publicly in the earth. So Jesus asked for a certain book and opened it up to a certain place. Verse 18. So he opened to the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. He has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captive. He has anointed me to help bring recovery of sight to the blind. He has anointed me to set at liberty those who were bruised. He has anointed me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and gave it back to him and said unto him, hey, this day, this is fulfilled in your ears. Now, what did he just do? He just identified for everybody standing there listening that day, the plan God had for his life. And where did he get it? He got it from God. And God laid it out for him. And Jesus walked this plan the entire 3.5 years of his life after that until he died on the cross, and which was a part of the plan. He did not deviate from it one little bit. So now, if you want to know the plan that God has for you, you're going to have to be serious in inquiring about it. See, a lot of people say they want to know, but they really don't want to know because they fear, oh, God may have me do something that I don't want to do. No, if God has you do it, you want to be doing it. If God tells you to pack up and move to Afghanistan, because that's the plan he has for your life. Now, you might not know how that's going to work out, but when you get there and start working in the plan, it'll be the best thing. You'll say to yourself, how come I didn't get here 10 years ago? Because everything that you're designed to do, everything that brings happiness to you, everything that brings joy to you, all of your resources, all of everything you need will be attached to you being in Afghanistan. And you'll be in Afghanistan like you're living in heaven. Nobody else understands why you're there, but you understand why you're there because you're following the plan. See, we got to stop gauging whether or not it's a good plan or a bad plan by what we see and how we feel, and start gauging it by what did God say? Because he knows how he's designed you. So now Jesus is our example. He found himself in God's book and he walked it out. Now, what we're going to look at from this point forward is how Jesus walked out this plan every day of his life, every piece of the plan. How did he get tapped into it? How did he stay tapped into it? How did he take it step by step by step each day? Because it's a daily plan, folks. It ain't just an overall plan and whoop, there it is. No, it's a plan that you progressively grow in day by day by day by day. And it requires trust in him each and every day and following him each and every day. And eventually, as you follow him, the plan begins to unfold. One thing that the Lord began to teach me a long time ago, if there are 10 steps to the plan, you don't need step 3 and 4 if you're not going to do step 1. 3 and 4 is pointless because you can't handle 3 and 4. You can't get to the 3rd and 4th step until you step on step number 1. So it's why it's a daily plan. But see, you want God to give it all to you. You can't handle all of it right now. You haven't grown to the place to understand steps 3 and 4 if you've never stepped on step 1. Because the faith that it takes to stand on the first step is the faith that's going to be the foundation for steps 3 and 4. It's a development. It's a growth. But you're steady growing with the plan. You're steady developing with the plan. And the plan is unfolding day by day by day. And you get stronger and stronger. And when you get to step 3 and 4, you understand now what is supposed to go on here. Because you learned some lessons back here. Now, let's look at this. St. John chapter 10. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time here in St. John. And we're going to link a lot of things that Jesus said together, showing you his mind concerning following God's plan. Because if anybody stayed connected to God and stayed connected to God's plan, the whole extent of his life, it would have been Jesus. Now, Jesus says here in St. John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, now the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus said here, now part of God's plan is for me to set up the way for you to be able to enjoy your plan. See, the life here that God is talking about is attached to the plan, and the plan is attached to this life. He says that you may enjoy your life. Enjoy living in this earth. Enjoy living in this earth the way God has intended for you to live in this earth. If you're not enjoying your life, it may be because either you're on the wrong plan or you're just not adhering to the plan that you know you're supposed to be on. You're supposed to be enjoying this journey. You don't get saved to still be depressed. You don't get saved and still be sad. You don't get saved. You should not be a born again believer and still in darkness wandering around in this earth. That is not the will of God for you and I. God's will is that we might have this life and be enjoying it. You're supposed to be enjoying this life, this journey that you're taking with God. So now that's part of the plan that Jesus has, that God has for you and I. And Jesus understood his role in this plan. Now, so let's start linking a lot of things together here. John chapter 14. Now, we're going to bounce back and forth here between scriptures and chapters of St. John so we can get our mind wrapped around how Jesus thought about following God and following the plan. Now, St. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The Amplified Bible, he says, stop being distressed and agitated. God's people should not be living like the world. And we know that the world lives in a constant, perpetual state of distress and agitation. They're always agitated. You know, I was in here praying this morning, and I was praying about some things that God is talking to me about the plan. And sometimes we can want the plan so bad, and we're praying so hard, and we're really not in faith. We're in a state of agitation because we really want to get where God wants us, and we really want to be right, and we really want to do it right. And God says, calm down. Don't get agitated. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. See, we don't have to be distressed about anything. God has given to us his spirit, and it is the Holy Ghost's responsibility to take you step by step to where you're supposed to be. It does not require you to get agitated at all. Actually, it requires you to calm down and just listen for his voice and follow him. So he says, don't let your heart get into agitation. So part of connecting is making sure you don't become agitated or anxious about where you're supposed to be. Oh, God, I'm 43 years old. I got to hurry up. No, you don't. Calm down. He knows where you are. I don't care. You could be 50,000 miles off track. God knows exactly where you are and the fastest route back to the path. Calm down and trust him. So he says, now you believe God, believe me. Calm down. Now, then he goes on down here and he begins to teach. Verse 6, he says, now, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man can tap in to the plan of the Father without him. Because he's the way. He's the truth. He's the producer of the life for the plan. Stop being agitated. You've come to the right place. Is what he's saying. And I know exactly what I'm doing. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The works or the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But it's the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the work. Now, notice this plan here that Jesus is putting together for you here. Look at what he's doing. He says, now don't be agitated because I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I know the plan. I know what's in my Father's book. I know how to get you from point A to point B, and I know how to do it with ease. What you need to do is calm down and do what Jeremiah told you to do. Come and inquire. Come and inquire. You know, think about this. When you go in, say for instance, there's some trouble going on, you hired you a lawyer, and you go into the lawyer's office to talk to him about your case, and you in there, and you in the lawyer's office, oh, I'm going to prison. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I need some help. Oh, would you please help me? I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, maybe I should try this. What do you think about this? Should I do this? And the lawyer's sitting behind his desk. What's the first thing the lawyer's going to say to you? Calm down. That's what you hired me for. You hired the lawyer because the lawyer has some expertise you don't know. And you in there agitated and panicking is not helping the situation. It's making it worse. So this is what Jesus is saying to you here. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I know it. Calm down. Don't come to me agitated because of fear. Relax. I know what I'm doing. I'm here at this point for a reason. Because we have to get in our minds that God knows what he's doing. And that he is so concerned about you that he is going to lead you step by step by step to where you're supposed to be. I have come to my conclusion that God knows the plan and he wants me to know it. And I refuse to walk in darkness concerning his plan any longer. And I'm going to trust him, not me. Because I've tried to work my plan and it didn't get me too far. Just like you've been working your plan and haven't gotten too far. Now, let's continue to piece some things together here. Now, look at John chapter 15. We're going to be flipping back and forth because I'm going to, you know, when the Bible was written, it wasn't written in chapters and verses. It was written in a scroll. So this is the mind of John. Of what he thought and how he saw things and how what the Holy Spirit wanted him to record about his journey with Jesus. So we're hearing when he wrote this, he wasn't writing in chapters and verses. He was just writing as the Spirit of God led him. So we're going to link some things together that Jesus said and did throughout his ministry time here on this earth. And you'll begin to see a picture of how Jesus did what Jesus did. You know, Jesus didn't just get the plan because he was Jesus. You know, Christian people think that he's the Son of God and he came down from heaven. So God just gave him everything he needed. No, that's not. No. He would have been the exact same boat that most Christian people are in if he didn't do what God told him to do. He didn't have anything any more special than what you and I have. You got to get that across in your mind. Jesus came the exact same way that we're walking. So if we're going to get in on what he got in on, we're going to have to do it the exact same way he did it. Why? Because he was the example. That's why God had this stuff wrote down, so that it could be a pattern for you to figure your way out and out of what you're trying to do into what God has planned for you to do. Now, St. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus says this. Now, remember, he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Here he says, now, I'm the vine. You're the branches. In other words, I'm the conduit by which everything is going to flow. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him. So now here's part of the clue of getting in on the plan. He says, he that will abide in me and allow me to abide in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Without the help of the Lord, you will not be successful in what God has planned for you to do. Now, you may find success in this earth to a degree. You can make a lot of money. There are a whole lot of folks that made a lot of money and are miserable. Because the money does not substitute the joy that comes from the plan. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Now, how many people believe that? Say, yeah, I believe that, Pastor. Then why are you still doing your own thing? Why do you still make your own decisions? Why are you still trying to work your plan? But you just said, I believe him. Well, no, you don't. Because he just says, without me, you can't do anything. In other words, without me, anything that God has in that book is impossible for you. Anything that God has written out is impossible for you. And I'm going to keep saying this throughout this study here. This is the best life that you could have ever asked for. You have no idea. It has not even entered into your consciousness just yet of how awesome this plan is. Because it has to unfold piece by piece. Because if God showed it all to you right now, you wouldn't even believe him. You'd be like, oh, there's no way. Because you're not ready to handle it yet. You know, I know that this is true. I'm living it. I'm living this. When I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, I could have never imagined standing and living life like I live it now. I couldn't see this then. I couldn't see this at 20 because I was too busy doing my own thing. It wasn't until I got born again that God started bumping me in the direction of the plan. And I can pinpoint it. It all started when I gave my life to Christ. All of it. and little by little. And I've tried to deviate from the plan and been miserable. And then get right back over on the plan and find my joyful place again. I've done it. I know that this is right. And I cannot tell you the amount of joy, the amount of favor, the amount of increase that has come into my life simply because I haven't been perfect, but I keep allowing the Holy Spirit to bring me back to the plan. So without him, you can do nothing. Why? Because he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Now, do you believe that? If you believe that, then you're going to start yielding to the way, the truth, and the life. All right? Now, so we see that now. Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Without him, you can do nothing. Why? Because he's the conduit by which it all flows from the Father. Let's keep linking some things here. Now, John chapter 16. So now Jesus now is getting ready to set it up now for everybody that's going to come after him. He was the trail setter. He was the one that came to set the pattern. And now the pattern has been set because his life has been recorded. Now he's getting ready to set up a plan, the portion of the plan that will allow you to be able to plug in to what God has planned for your life. Now look here at John 16, verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me to go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So Jesus is saying here, hey, I got to go away, because if I don't, the Comforter. Now, part of the Greek definition for comforter is helper. When you look that up in the Amplified, the very first thing it says when it says comforter, it says counselor and then helper. If I don't go away, the Comforter, who is your helper, won't be able to come. Now, why do we need the helper? Because it's going to be his responsibility to take you every step of the way throughout this plan. God never intended on you trying to figure out the plan on your own and then figure out how to walk in the plan on your own. God never left it to you to have to figure out anything. He says he works out everything after the counsel and purpose of his design. So he's designed it. And part of the design is to give you an escort. You have a personal escort who will lead you. Why do you hire the tour guide? Because you're in a foreign place and you want to make sure you see all the things that you wanted to see when you signed up. So you hire the tour guide. And if you hire the tour guide, you do what? You follow him. You don't get out there and say, well, I know I hired you, but I'm going to do my own thing. That's dumb. You're going to miss out on all the things that you want to do. Why? Because you have no idea how to get there. That's why you got the tour guide. Well, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is your guide. He knows the path. He knows the plan. And his job is to make sure that you get linked to the plan and that the plan unfolds every single day in your life the way God intended it to. I'm not talking to you this morning about a suggestion or a religious type of attitude. I'm talking to you this morning about a way of living. See, this is what Christianity is all about. Learning how to walk with the Spirit of God and learning how to live this way every day, not just Sunday, for a couple of hours. So it says, if I don't go away, the Comforter, your helper, can't come. But if I go away, I'm going to send him. Now, he says, now I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't do anything without me. And when I go away, I'm going to send you a comforter, a helper. Is everybody clear so far? Because some of you guys look at me kind of strange. I'm trying to go slow here on purpose. Now, let's look at John 14. Let's take that thought. Don't, when I go from scripture to scripture, keep in mind the scriptures that we've already read. They're linking a thought together here. Now, John chapter 14 again. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give to you another comforter. So now we just read, Jesus says, if I don't go away, the comfort can't come. But if I go away, I'm going to send him. How? Because I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give to you another comforter. In other words, the comforter that he's going to give to you is just like me. Another, one of the same kind. He's going to send another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Why? Because Jesus couldn't. You know, Jesus was only going to be, he was limited to the region that he was standing in. He couldn't be with everyone and at every all times everywhere. He says, but if I go away, I can send you somebody, I can send you another comforter who can be with you, another God who can be with you every single day and can walk with every single individual every single day, all the way throughout the plan. Said he will abide with you forever. You are never alone in this journey. You are never alone in this journey. I don't care how bad you may feel. I don't care how horrible you think it is. I don't care how lost you think you are. You are never alone. You have somebody on the inside of you that is better than any navigational system you can buy. I guarantee it. So he says here, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give to you another comforter, who shall abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. How is it that he can be with you forever? How is it that he can lead you and can guide you? Because Jesus just said here, not only will he be with you, he will live in you. Now, Jesus talking here before the Holy Ghost was released. Now we live in the day and a time to where he is in you. So the comforter, whose job is to guide you, is already in you. See, while you're looking out here to figure out what to do, is the mistake. This is why you keep being deceived. This is why you keep ending up at destination frustration. This is why you keep ending up at destination broke. And this is why you keep ending up at destination depressed. Why? Because you're out here trying to figure out your own plan instead of looking on the inside where the God is to take you to destination prosperity, prosperous life. He knows where it is. So he says here, even the Spirit of truth, because the world cannot receive it, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you shall know him, for he shall be dwell with you and shall be in you. I'm not going to leave you here comfortless. I will come to you again. How? He just showed you. He said, I'm not going to leave you here without help. I'm not going to leave you here without a guide. I'm not going to leave you here so that you can be on your own. Jesus would never have done that. Why? Because he's already says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Without me, you can't do anything. So why would he leave you? I don't care how bad you think you've been. You can take the worst sinner. Let's just say this. And I don't know. I don't know. You don't know either, so don't look at me crazy when I say it. Adolf Hitler could have gave his life to Christ with his last dying breath and made it on in. Now, you may sit there looking at me cross-eyed, but you don't know that he didn't do it. Neither do I. The point that I'm making is this. I don't care how horrible of a person you have been. You cannot jack up so bad to where God says, I'm never going to have anything else to do with you again. Can't happen. He's God. He's love. And anybody that turns to him, he's there to receive. And he'll take you from wherever you are right on into your prosperous place. I don't care how bad you've jacked up. This is why you don't get to be the judge. See, God's changing my mind about how we think about people. You don't get to be the judge because we'll judge wrong every single time. Because we're judging by what we see. And God's judging by what he knows. Now, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you again. Now, look down here at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, who's going to teach you all things? The Holy Ghost. He's going to teach you everything you know about the life that's been provided for you. Said he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have spoken unto you. Well, we already read where it says in his book are all the plans written out. The Holy Ghost knows them. See, he knows the individual plan for you. And he, part of his responsibility is to what? Teach you the plan and remind you of what was spoken over you before you were released into your mother's womb. Now, how does God create anything? I'm getting ready to show you something here. How does God create anything? Well, let's look at the first man, Adam. The Bible said that God formed Adam with his hands and he was a clay shell from the dust of the ground. He was a lifeless hunk of clay standing there. No life in it at all. But then the Bible says that God breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul, or he became alive, animated. He became alive. Well, that word breathe wasn't he blew on it. When you look it up, it means to speak and inspire. You know, when you take a balloon and you blow it up and you can tie a knot in it. It's full of the air that came out of you. We could take that balloon to a scientist and they could go in there and get the DNA that came out of the moisture that came out of your mouth, out of the air of that balloon, and figure out exactly who you are. Why? Because the moment you breathe into that balloon, you, your DNA, you went in it. The stuff that makes you, you is in the balloon now. So when God breathed into Adam or spoke into Adam, the stuff that was in God made Adam Adam. And he became alive. Now, he spoke that into Adam. He spoke life into him and then spoke purpose and plan over him. Because he spoke life into him, he became a living soul. And then he said, be fruitful, multiply and replenish. Now, if that's how the first man was created and brought into being, What makes you think that you and I came any differently? Well, you say, you mean to tell me God formed me to fill some clay? No. But I remember at one low point in my life, I was driving. I was getting ready to start backsliding because it was hard. Because I was trying to figure out how to do my plan and be saved. And it was hard. And I told God, and this is when I first, about 3 years into being saved, I said, Lord, this is difficult. This is hard. I don't see how this is going to work. This is not working. You know, I'm tired of struggling. I might as well go do my own thing. At least if I go back out in the streets, I know how to do that. So I'm just wanting to give up and quit. And I'm driving down Linwood. And Jeremiah 29:11 came up. I read that for you. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Then the Lord said this. Because you got to take that and link that with Jeremiah 1 that says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you and approved of you. He says, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, I already knew and approved of you. So I was driving on the street and the Lord said this to me. He says, before I ever released you into your mother's belly, I set you on my lap and I spoke words of destiny and words of purpose into you. And then I released you into your mother's womb. And I thought about that. That's true for everybody in this room. Before you hit your mother's womb, God spoke to you. Just like he spoke to Adam and brought Adam into existence. He spoke to you. And what he spoke was your life over you. He spoke the plans that's in that book over your life. And that is what released you into your mother's womb. All your mom and your dad did was create the mechanisms that you have to become a legal entity in this earth. Because Jesus says, let you come through a womb of a woman, you here illegally. Satan's here illegally. Everybody else that's born of a woman, you come here legally. That's why Jesus had to be born of a woman. So that was just to get you here legally. Your body. But your spirit that contains purpose came from him. And it just said here that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to do what? Remind you of everything that God has spoken concerning who you are. Let's read it again. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send. Or we could say the Helper, who is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. And God has spoken tremendous amount of things over your life. That's why an individual can kind of bump into it. You know, you kind of bump into that as you go. Even an unsaved person can bump up against this. They may not know what they're bumping up against, but they can bump up against it. And kind of figure out a little bit, well, I like doing this. And do it. And guess what? It'll bring them wealth. It's what they're designed to do. They fit it. Now, it's dangerous for them to figure it out before they meet God because Satan is taking to prostitute it. But they can figure it out. But it's going to be distorted. They're only going to be able to get to a certain level in it. Here's an example. I'm not going to call the person's name, but you probably can figure it out. A woman who's very, 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 very wealthy. Had a horrible childhood. Raped, abused. But figured out what she liked to do. And got into media and has become wealthy doing it. Pretty much one of the most wealthiest women in the business. She figured out what she was supposed to, where she was. She figured out what she was designed to do. Now that she's in it and she's gotten up to a place to have influence, all she talks about now is the higher power. Your good self. See, Jesus ain't nowhere in it. See, the influence, if she had it connected to the Lord, the influence that she had now would be doing what? Bringing glory to the Father instead of glory to everything else. See, that's the goal. The goal is to get hooked up to God through the Spirit so that you can bump into your plan, live it, and then your life brings glory unto the Father and unto Jesus, which will draw people to him. Because if you know the woman I'm talking about, if you know, she draws people. But the drawing now is being drawn away from God instead of to him. Are you seeing it? So the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is designed to remind you. He is to teach you all things concerning the plan and to remind you every day of who you are. If you will let him. If you would inquire. And if you would listen. All right. Let's keep piecing this together here. John chapter 16 again. Like I said, we're going to be bouncing back and forth because this is the thought. This is how Jesus thought. And this is what he thinks about you and how you can connect to the plan. He connected the plan the exact same way I'm teaching right now. John 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't handle them right now. You can't bear it right now. You can't handle it. Jesus said, hey, there's a lot that I want to say to you about the plan, but at this point, you can't handle it. Like I said, hey, the plan that God has is so big and so vast and so glorious to the natural mind, it just seems impossible. He says you can't handle it yet. But when he, the Spirit of truth, or the Comforter, or the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. When I read this, the Lord always keeps reminding me, think about it this way. He will take you by the hand and walk you into all truth. Isn't that what a guide is supposed to do? You think about someone who's guiding you somewhere. They take you by the hand and they lead you through the whole thing. You know, if you went to the White House, there's a tour that you get. But if you got a guy that has clearance to take you different places, you get to see things that everybody else can't see. Why? Because you're with somebody who has access. Well, we're with somebody who has access. And if you will let him, he'll take you by the hand and show you what's behind the curtain. He'll show you what God has planned for you that's behind the curtain that everybody else don't get to see. See, this is why if you really plug into God, God will say some stuff about you and show you some stuff about you that's even hard for you to understand, but nobody else can see it at all. Oh, please, God, I'll never do that for you. You just don't know what I've seen. See, and the reason that they don't get it is because they haven't seen what's behind the curtain you have. See, every now and then, if you learn how to pray, and learn how to hook up with the Holy Spirit. Every now and then, he'll let you take a peek back there to see what's back there. It's encouragement just to show you how you're on the right track. And then every now and then, you'll take another step and part of it will pop right. Oh, I remember when I saw that behind the curtain. And there it is. I'm actually living in that thing now. Wow. Why does he do that? There's the blade. It's encouragement. Why? To keep you going. Are you on the right path? And you'll go a little bit further with the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, poof, something else will pop out of the curtain. Like, whoa, I remember when I saw that. God, you told me that 10 years ago, and here I'm in it today. What is he doing? Taking you. Now, you don't know how you got there. You don't have to. Don't be agitated. Just come on and let me lead you where you're going. Come on, I got you. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm going to take you. So it says, I be when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. The Amplified Bible says he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him to you. Now, Jesus says here, if I don't go away, the comfort can't come. But if I go away, I'm going to pray and ask the Father, send you another comforter who is going to be with you forever. And now it's saying here, his job is to lead and guide you. And notice again, he says, he's not going to speak his own message unto you, but he's going to tell you what he has heard from the Father. What do you think he's hearing from the Father? The plan concerning you. He's going to take what he's getting from the Father about who you are, where you're going, and then he's going to announce that to you. He's going to teach it to you. He's going to remind you about it. See, first of all, he gets it from the Father. You've already heard it once. You just don't remember it. Because the Bible says that we're born in sin or in a sinful state because of what Adam did, his original sin. Everybody's born that way. But here's the kicker. And we are shaped in iniquity. Well, where are you shaped? In your mind. So the shaping that goes on until you get born again is designed to just try to kill out every single thing about God that ever could have existed in you. Satan's job is really what he wants to do is to kill out God's ideals so bad in your life till you will never want him. This is why it's important for parents with godly parents to constantly get in the face of God, find out who they are, find out who their kids are, and begin to speak what God has spoke over those kids and to begin to show those kids God so that as they grow up, they remember, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he won't depart from it. Got to do this. It aids in the kid making sure that he has a life to go with God. And so that shape in the iniquity was designed to steal the plan. But here comes the Holy Spirit. You get born again. God recreates your human spirit. Now it's ready to receive again. It's ready to hear again. And guess who is in the recreating of your human spirit? The Holy Spirit. And he knows the plan about you too. So as he recreates your spirit, he's talking the plan. He's speaking the plan. This is why when you get born again, the first thing that anybody, I don't care how bad of a person you are, the first thing that hits your conscience when you get born again is, oh, there's got to be something better than this. Whew. Excitement comes. Why? Because now something just quickened back in you that the plan has just been rebirthed in you. And it's a great plan. And everything in your spirit now wants it. And you begin to tell yourself, you excited. Why? Because you're going somewhere. You plugged back into something now. And you know everything about where you are is something else out there better than this. It has to be. Why? Where is that coming from? It's the rekindling of God's plan that the Holy Spirit is trying to remind you of. But what God's people do, that initial fire gets in there, but then religion shows up and starts teaching you how to follow you again. And as you get further and further and further down your path, God's plan for you seems to grow smaller and smaller and smaller. And before you know it, you're over here miserable and you think you don't lose something. And now you start trying to fight to get that back and don't realize you never lost it. But you're still trying to do your thing, trying to fight to get back that initial excitement and joy, but you can't get it doing your own thing. You're going to have to turn around and go back to God and inquire. And the moment you do that, guess what happens? The fire kindles again. Why? Because you're back on track. The fire is there to rekindle again, to let you know what? Woo, you're back with me. Come on, let's go. And here we go, down it again. God's intention was the moment you gave your life to Christ, there was never, ever, ever supposed to be another down moment. Everything else was supposed to just keep going straight up. Straight up. And if the church would teach the way we're supposed to teach and would and encourage the way that we're supposed to be encouraged, God's people would get saved and start automatically heading up, heading up, heading up, heading up, heading up, heading up. There would never be any downward motion. The downward motion comes because the churches promoted basketball team, potluck dinners, social activities, and if you don't like this one, let's go down to this one. And where they may be mad, we'll go over here. See, that's the foolishness that's going on. But guess what? All that's heading downhill. Because the church is not a social club. It's an educational facility to teach you how to live this life. That's what it's here for. So he's going to lead and guide you to all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Now, for years, I read that, show you things to come. And automatically, because once again, because we've been so trained to live in a perpetual state of agitation, automatically the human mind goes to, he's going to help us miss out on all kind of mistakes and the trouble's going to show up. And we start thinking about trouble and all that. And he already said, don't let your heart be troubled. So obviously he ain't talking about showing you trouble. Now that could come. He could show you the trouble that you're getting ready to get into if you keep on that path. But I don't think his original purpose there was to talk to you about trouble. I believe he says he's going to show you things to come. He's talking to you about that plan. What's out there in front of you. Why? So that you can open your mouth up and start agreeing with it. See, this is where we're headed. You got to see the plan inwardly before you'll start talking it outwardly. This is why you can find an individual who loves God, know who they are, know where they're going, and they start talking, and most people think they don't lost their mind. You know why? Because they can't see how that could happen. But the individual who's plugged into God, they're not trying to see, they know. And they have been shown things to come, and they got their mouth in line with the plan, and they speak in the plan. Yeah, the plan looks impossible, so what? God is the one got to make it happen, not me, so I'm going to speak the plan. But see, now you trying to look at me based on what you see, what you know about me, and what you think about me, and none of that has anything to do with where I'm going. Now, let me give you another rule or hint. Stop talking to ignorant people about what God is showing you. You're wasting your time and you're setting yourself up to be attacked unnecessarily. By who you think you are. I remember when. So you still trying to judge me based on who I used to be. Instead of judging me on who I am today. Or who I'm, or where I'm going. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God is not judging you on where you are. God is judging you on what he has said about you. If God called you that, that's who you are. That's what he's measuring you against. He's not measuring you against, I ain't the pastor. But if he ain't called you to be the pastor, that's not the measuring stick he's using on you. But if he called you, I'm going to close with this because we're going to pick it up here next week. But I was listening to a message, and the preacher said that God told him, my people are just all over the place. He says, I got preachers out selling shoes and shoe salesmen out trying to preach. Both of them out of their purpose, both of them out of their anointing, both of them frustrated. Because the shoe salesman thinks he can't get anything done unless he's the preacher. And the preacher thinks he can't be important if he's a shoe salesman. Not realizing that if God called you a shoe salesman, the anointing to sell shoes is on you. And as you sit there selling shoes, the glory of the Lord is radiating through you if you're plugged in right. And it's just something about you. And you can sit there and sell shoes all day and get person saved at the same person after person after person after person born again selling shoes. Why? Because you're anointed to do it. And have a ton, a boatload of money. You know, the shoe salesman can have a jet if that's what God says he needed to fill his plan. Because I can sell shoes Monday through Friday, but on Saturday and Sunday I'm preaching. And I got to go all over the country to do it. I need a jet. I can't do it on Delta. Because Delta can't get me back to work on time. Amen. See how we've been thinking? You are going to be measured by what he's called you. Not by what you're, what you think you're supposed to be doing. This is why you need the plan, folks. When you get to heaven, you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't want to get there and hear, well. That's not what you want to hear. Well, I called you this, but you decided this was better. Let me tell you something else that he said. He said, now that shoe salesman preaching, shoe salesman trying to be the pastor, could win 20,000 people to Christ. And none of it would be put to his credit to his account. Because he was never where he was supposed to be. Now, God's going to save him, but you don't get credit for it. You're out of place. You are a square peg trying to force yourself into a round hole. Wouldn't it make sense just to find the square hole and fit? So I'm trying to get what I'm doing here. I'm trying through the help of the Holy Spirit to alleviate frustration and pain. You need to know the plan. There's no need of you wasting your whole entire life here and get to the end and still just as miserable as you was the day you started. But you pleased mama. You pleased daddy. You please a whole bunch of people, but on the inside, you just as lifeless as you can be because you weren't happy near day you did it. So we'll stop there. Father, we thank you this morning. We're going to table this study here. We thank you this morning for it, Father. It's simple, but it's profound. Holy Spirit, this is what you got us on. Teach us, show us, and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.